CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. A French philosopher once maintained that the history of the ancient world was the result of the shape of Cleopatra's nose. The day of the Battle of Waterloo, Napoleon was suffering from an upset stomach. The Hundred Years' War began when the King of France sent the English King a can of tennis balls. The motives that drive men to action or secure their downfall are often trivial. But the results are not. Boundaries are changed forever. People die in holocausts, not of their own making. Faith and hope are crushed in a chain of events that began with a sleepless night.
The verdict has been rendered, Sergeant. You and your comrade have been found guilty and must die.
We're on your side.
That is how it appears to you.
We're fighting to save your village.
No, Sergeant, you are not. You are fighting to destroy it. And we will not let you.
Our mystery drama, No Man's Land, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Picture this. It's midnight and it's raining on the homes of the celebrities in Bel Air. Now, there are two things wealth and iron gates can't keep out. One is the weather, and the other is murder.
One of your special units on this one, Jerry. I want the best.
I've already sent for Woody Paris.
Woody Paris, a big cop with a big conscience. Right now, that conscience is working overtime.
You're not going to be very popular in certain quarters, you know.
I think I know who killed Lydia Wellman.
And this could be very dangerous knowledge.
Going out of your way to antagonize Julius Wellman?
Either Wellman killed his wife, or her lover did.
If you arrest that man, you'll throw away everything you ever worked for.
Let's rebook him for the Wellman murder.
But that's Woody Paris. He's head and heart above any cop you've ever seen or heard about. How does it all turn out? Watch Paris.
James Earl Jones, a great American actor, is Woody Paris, a great American cop. Paris, coming this fall on CBS television.
Got the picture? Oh, yeah, you're looking good.
With so many people turning to natural foods these days, Pennsylvania Dutchman mushrooms are a natural for all kinds of meals and snacks.
Oh, that's right, Betty. You just can't buy a better tasting, more natural canned mushroom. Read the Pennsylvania Dutchman label and compare. You'll see that unlike many imported and some domestic canned mushrooms that contain citric or ascorbic acid, Pennsylvania Dutchman mushrooms have no additives or preservatives, just mushrooms, salt, and water.
No wonder they're so delicious in salads and soups, omelets, meatloaf, spaghetti sauce, and all kinds of main dishes, side dishes, and snacks.
If you're a mushroom lover, be sure to try Pennsylvania Dutchman mushrooms. They'll add a touch of natural elegance to your meals. Pick up Pennsylvania Dutchman mushrooms, whole, buttons, or stems and pieces at Centrella, Jewel, Dominick's, Kohl's, A&P, Certified, or Grocerland stores.
And for your free Recipes Elegant booklet, write to Myers Canning Company, Post Office Box 276, Temple, Pennsylvania, 19560.
The great German dramatist Gotthold Lessing said, "There are things which must cause you to lose your reason, or you have none to lose." He may have had in mind the horrors of war. We may say that it is loss of reason which starts wars in the first place, but what about the hapless victims? When the whole world seems mad, what prospect have those at the very vortex of the confusion of maintaining their sanity? And to what lengths will they go to protect their lives? We're in northern France, near the Belgian border. It is 1944. The Allied drive for Berlin is moving ahead in full force.
You wanted to see me, Captain?
Yes. Pull up a camp stool, Sergeant.
We just got orders from First Army Headquarters to get them over the Somme River by Friday.
Friday?
Mm-hmm.
That's the day after tomorrow.
Well, Ninth Army is meeting stiff resistance up north. Now, we have got to get up there and put the pressure on the Germans' left flank. Now, my engineers have the job of putting up a pontoon bridge over the river,
huh? Mm-hmm. And my squad?
Well, there's two possible places the bridge could go. I've already sent out a patrol to check out one.
And we check out the other.
Yeah. Now, here is a detailed map of the area. Now, this is the road I want you to scout. I can get my engineers up to the river a heck of a lot faster if we don't have to wait for support, you know? But I'm not sending them out without it, if there's any sign of the enemy.
Establish radio contact when we reach the river?
Yeah. And report any sign of enemy activity. We'll take whatever route looks the safest, huh? Mm. Now, you take this map. You've got, about 7 miles to cover. And if you don't meet any resistance, it shouldn't take you more than a couple of hours. So.
Yes, sir.
Aerial reconnaissance shows there's no heavy German armor across the river, so there shouldn't be any problems. You can tell your men this is purely a routine mission.
Phew-wee. Boy, this is one hot day, Sarge. Hey, how much further is Berlin anyway?
You could hop a plane and be there in 2 hours.
I'd rather leg it and shoot it out with the Jerrys. That's what it's all about, ain't it?
Well, I wouldn't say that's the point of it, but it may be unavoidable. Signal the others to hold up. We must be about halfway to the river. We'll rest a few minutes.
Hey, you guys, take five. Cigarette, Sarge?
No, thanks.
Hey, this river we're headed for, the Somme. Now, didn't that figure in World War I?
Yep. The Battle of the Somme was the bloodiest battle in history. Took over 1 million lives.
A million? Wow.
They fought back and forth over this area for more than 2 years. Neither side got anywhere. The whole area was a wasteland. Looked like the surface of the moon.
Surface of the moon? Hard to believe, ain't it? Looking at these fields and them woods over there.
It's amazing how the land regenerates, isn't it? I mean, you'd never know there'd been a war here at all.
Yeah, well, I'm beginning to have my doubts about this one.
Get down!
Is everyone all right?
Yeah, wait. One of our guys was hit.
Who?
And it looks like Beale. Hey, Jackson's crawling over to him. Now, where did that shot come from anyway?
I'm not sure. It sounded like the field up ahead of us.
Hey, you see anything?
No. How's Beale?
Wait. Uh-oh, no, Jackson's signaling thumbs down.
Hey, whistle the rest of the men over here.
Yeah, but they'll have to come across the road.
But over there, they're exposed.
Well, okay, Sergeant.
You bring it on in.
You can't recover him, sir?
Oh, I can't tell where the shots are coming from.
We got Morrison.
Jackson, are you okay?
Yeah.
Crank up your radio, will you? Get us in touch with headquarters.
I thought there weren't supposed to be any Jerrys out here.
Brewster, how's Morris?
He ain't moving.
Hello.
Well, do you think you can reach them?
Hello.
I sure can try.
Hello, Dogwood.
What's wrong? Can't you get them, Jackson?
No.
All right, let me try. Hello. Dogwood, can you read me? This is Sergeant Fraser. Come in, Dogwood.
It's dead, sir.
No, wait a minute. We're getting something. Hello, Dogwood.
Well, what the heck is that, sir?
I don't know. Dogwood, this is Sergeant Fraser. Do you read me?
It sounded like music, sir.
Well, we must have picked up something in the area, or else the Germans are jamming us. Brewster, how's Morris?
He's dead, too.
All right, that leaves five of us.
What are we going to do, Sarge?
Listen, I say we light out after him. Don't sound to me like there's any more than half a dozen of them.
Well, we weren't able to make radio contact. Now, we're going to have to turn around and try and get back to camp and let them know what we ran into.
Carson! He was hit in the back. You know, they're behind us, too. Now, we can't go back. They got us surrounded.
Well, we got to get off the road. Let's head into that field of tall grass up there. Let's go!
I think we got around them somehow, Sarge.
All right. All right, hold up. I'm going to have a look at the map.
Okay. Try and figure out
where we got ourselves to. All right, now let's... Okay, we must have come off the road about here. Jackson, try the radio again.
Yes, sir.
We was headed north by northeast.
All right, this is Corporal Jackson. Are you getting my signal? Dogwood, we sure would appreciate some response.
Hey, listen, something's coming through. It's that music again, Sarge. What is it? You recognize it?
No. I don't get it. We should be able to make contact from here.
You want me to keep on trying?
No. There's a rise of ground up ahead of us. Maybe we'll have better luck with transmission up there.
Well, I don't see any signs of Jerry anywhere. You figure we lost him?
Well, they probably just had a patrol out on this side of the river. Still, let's spread out, huh? There's no point in making one big target of ourselves. Jackson, you and Coolidge fan out that way. Rooster, you move up on my left.
Well, what do we do if we still can't make contact?
Well, we're going to have to try finding our way back, Jackson. Let's go.
You okay? Okay?
Jackson! Coolidge!
Hey, they ain't putting their heads up.
Come on! Oh, my.
No.
You couldn't tell which was which. It's just you and me, Rooster.
Where the heck did that shell come from?
The direction of the river. The Germans must have a battery set up on the other side.
Well, we gotta warn the captain now.
Get down! Come on, Rooster!
Hey, looks like there's a gully around the base of that rise.
How you feel about war now, Rooster?
I just want a chance to get at them fair and square.
Well, we should be pretty near the river now. If we take a peep over this rise, maybe we can see where the shelling's coming from.
Well, you be my guest.
Hey,
look at this. You can see them?
No, but look down there. There's a village. If we can make it there, it'll be a darn sight better than being out here in the open.
Say we duck into the first door we come to, Sarge, and knock afterwards.
In here. Shut the door.
Oh, man and boy, I didn't think we'd make it.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Hey, what is this place anyway? Looks like some kind of old shed. Got a window.
I want to know where we are.
Looks like a nice little town. What's left of it?
Hey, that's funny.
What?
Well, we're to the river, right?
Yeah, well, you can see it right out the window here. It's on the other side of town.
Yeah? Well, according to the map here, there's no town on this river at this point.
Huh? Yeah? Well, according to the captain, there wasn't supposed to be any German armor in this area either. Routine mission. Five of our guys are dead. Well, I tell you, something's really gone screwy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it isn't over yet.
What?
Look out the window. Look what's coming towards us.
Huh? What? That's a man walking up the street. Well, would you look at him? He's dressed up all in black, like he was going to church. He's even got a bowler hat on.
You see anyone else?
Huh? No, just him.
He's acting like he's not even aware of the bombs.
Shh. He's coming right past us. Where do you suppose he's gone in the middle of this blitzkrieg?
He stopped. There's your answer.
Well, did he see us? I mean, how does he know we're here?
I don't know.
Oh, he must be crazy to be out there. What in the world is going on?
It requires, someone once said, more bravery to overcome the weariness and lassitude of old age than it does to go into battle. But let us not underrate the courage required of ordinary men called upon to leave their peacetime occupations and take up arms. And when to the certain violence of battle is added the unnerving overture of mystery, well, that is something few men would face if they had the choice. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
At the store, they told me there's a powerful anti-itch drug I can buy without a doctor's prescription. Now I use Bicozine cream as directed. No more burning, embarrassing itching. No more scratching. Bicozine actually speeds healing. Bicozine cream. What a relief.
Time to change your laxative. X-Lax pills gently stimulate your system's own natural rhythm, and that makes all the difference. X-Lax pills, for occasional use only as directed.
Show them your pops. Rip it right out. Show them your pops. Show them your master charge.
I love to shop. I'm a woman.
I love to travel. I work.
I always need something.
A summer wardrobe.
Leather luggage.
A gift for him.
A gift for me.
What do you do?
Show him your clout.
Hey, we're in charge with Master Charge.
When you carry Master Charge.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time. We've got more time for you.
At Northwest Federal, that means more hours, more convenience, and more gifts for savers. Right now, you can choose from 23 fabulous gifts just for saving at Northwest Federal. You'll find a terrific selection from a West Bend skillet to a Sunbeam clock, from an Oster blender to a Black & Decker sander. There are summer fun items, too, like the colorful Beach Bum lounging quilt or the comfortable Coleman sleeping bag. Come on in to any Northwest Federal, including their new Skokie Savings Center, to choose your gift. One gift per family free or at greatly reduced prices when you deposit $250 or more. But hurry, the offer is good for a limited time only. Come see the selection. It's just one more example of how Northwest Federal does more for you.
It's Northwest Federal Savings Time. We've got more time for you.
Life is a battle of the individual with the universe. We are defined not by what we do, but how we respond to those forces outside ourselves that seek to control our lives moment to moment. At the present moment in our story, Craig and Rooster are faced with a perplexing situation indeed. Up to a point, it's normal enough. Normal for wartime, that is. They are pinned down by enemy fire in a small French village. But who is the mysterious man in black who has walked up the main street of the town, oblivious to the bombardment, and who seems anxious to speak to them? And what will they do?
He's knocking.
I'm going to let him in.
No, Sarge. Now, wait. How do we know he's friendly?
The Rooster, the guy's in danger, for Pete's sake. Let's let him inside first, and then ask questions.
He could be a German.
All right, then. You cover the door with your rifle.
Okay, Sarge. Go, you can let him in now. I am ready.
You are American soldiers?
Yeah. You French?
Oui.
Well, you better get in here quick before you get hurt.
Merci. But I am not worried about that.
Are you from this village?
I am. Permit me to introduce myself. I am Emile Baudet, the mayor of Gasson.
Gasson, huh? That's the name of this place?
This town, Sergeant. Not a place. It is a town.
I'm sorry. We just couldn't find it on the map.
This man who is pointing his gun at me, is he your comrade?
Rooster, lower your rifle.
Well, how do we know he ain't armed, Sarge?
Are you carrying a weapon, Mr. Baudet?
I am not armed.
All right, all right. All right, what's going on here? Now, you could have gotten killed out there.
How'd you know we was here?
We saw you run into our village and into this shed.
Who's we?
The other villagers and I.
Have you been under attack long?
Yes, for a very long time.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but what you see is what you got. Us two are the only two there are.
Pardon?
Our main force is still a day and a half away. We won't be able to lift this siege until they get here.
I have been sent to get you.
By whom?
My fellow villagers. Will you please come with me?
Where? Out there?
Yes. Down to the church in the main square.
With all them bombs falling? Sarge, he is crazy.
Please come with me.
Look, Mr. Baudet, I told you there's only two of us, and we've got to try to get back to our unit. There's nothing we can do.
There isn't much time.
Much time before what?
Before this shed we are in will be struck by one of those shells.
Yeah, well, I'd rather take my chances in here than out there.
We will be hit, I promise you.
Rooster, quick, get out of the street! Okay. Tomato!
We just got out in time.
How did that guy know?
I don't know, but he saved our lives. Is he okay?
Hey, mister!
I am unhurt. Please, come with me now.
Hey, can't we go any faster?
We won't be hit.
Oh, I wish I had his confidence.
How much further is the church?
It is not far. Here we are. Please, gentlemen, go inside.
Oh, with pleasure. You know, this looks like a good, solid piece of work to take cover in. Hey, thanks, mister. It's pitch dark.
Your eyes will soon adjust. Please, follow me.
Well, where are you taking us, huh?
To the cellar.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Here we are.
Hey, looks like the whole village is down here. Why, there must be 200 people.
Well, this is probably the best air raid shelter in town.
And now, please, give me your weapons.
What?
Please, we are in a church.
Sarge? No, we can't do that.
Look, I think we're okay, Rooster. And I don't think it's a trap. I don't see any soldiers.
But we have got to try and get back.
Yeah, but just a minute here. I mean, maybe they need some kind of reassurance, you know, that help is really on the way. Okay, Mr. Baudet, here are our weapons.
Thank you. I will entrust them to the bailiffs.
The bailiffs?
My friends, here are the two soldiers who entered our town. They are Americans.
Sue them. Guillotine them in the town square.
What?
They must die.
Hey, didn't you hear what your mayor said? We're Americans.
My fellow villagers, please, patience.
Sarge, I think we ought to get out of here.
Well, there's too many people between us and the stairway.
Please, we must begin the trial.
Trial? Of whom? Us? What for?
You are soldiers, are you not?
No. No, I'm a garage mechanic who just happens to have been drafted and sent over here to liberate your country.
You are in uniform, and you are armed.
Well, we ain't armed now, but boy, I tell you, I wish to Jehoshaphat we were.
All right, listen to me. Can you hear that bombing up there? You're under attack by the Germans, and we're here to save your village. We're going to put up a pontoon bridge over the Somme so our troops can drive them back. And the longer you keep us here, the longer it's going to take for that bridge to get built.
We don't care whose side you're on.
I am convening this session of the People's Court of the village of Gasson.
They've got to be joking.
Bailiff, Restrain the accused if necessary.
Just what are we accused of?
Of waging war. Of destroying our village.
We were only taking cover from enemy shell fire.
And why is the enemy, as you call them, firing? Because you are here.
They must be German sympathizers.
We are not for the Germans or for the Americans. We are for ourselves. No one in uniform is on our side. There is not a person in this room who has not had to endure loss and suffering from the ravages of war. We had nothing to do with starting it, but we are its principal victims. First, the Germans overrun us from one direction, and then they are pushed back, and the Allies overrun us from another. And so it goes. And each time the smoke clears, more of our relatives and neighbors are dead. More of our houses are in ruins. More of our fields have been burned.
Yes, but you can't put us on trial for that.
But we can put you on trial, Sergeant. For in the town of Garçon, we have passed a law. No soldier may enter our village except under pain of death.
Sarge, they're crazy. Now, we have walked in the whole town filled with crazy people.
May I speak? Once we lay down the bridge, our troops can move across and drive the Germans back once and for all.
Hey, Sarge. Hey, listen. I think the shelling stopped. Now, we got to get back. We are wasting time.
Now, there's too many people.
We can't make a break.
Yeah, well, those men there got us covered with our guns.
Do the accused have anything more to say in their defense?
Yeah, I got something to say. I wouldn't fight for you people now if my life depended on it.
If we could believe you were sincere, Corporal, we might almost be persuaded to let you go.
Mr. Baudet, I know you're angry and I know you feel helpless, but Rooster and me, we're in the same boat. We don't have any more control over how we come to be here than you do.
Why are you here?
I told you we were sent to scout the river.
To choose a route for your army to take. And if you choose the road that goes through our villages, then once again, Garçon is bombed and invaded. Is this not true, Sergeant?
You have my word for it, Baudet. With all the shelling that's going on here, we won't be coming through Garçon.
Sarge? Hey, how did he know that?
Know what?
How did he know that we were making a choice of routes?
You know, I'll bet they're the ones who jammed our radio. They killed Morrison and the others.
We did not kill anyone, Corporal.
Yeah, but how did you know, huh? Now, you answer me that. How did you know what we were doing?
It is time to render a verdict on these two men.
Oh, now where is your jury? You can't have a trial without a jury, or don't you believe in that either?
Every man and woman in this room is the jury. The whole village will cast their vote.
A jury's decision has to be unanimous.
That is correct. If so much as a single person dissents, you will not be found guilty. People of Garçon, all those who find the accused guilty as charged, signify by raising your hands.
Guilty.
Is there anyone who will vote for their innocence? Judgment has been rendered. And the sentence, which must be passed in accordance with the law of this town, is death.
You aren't going to stop this war or save your village by executing us, Baudet.
Perhaps not. But sentence has been passed on Garçon, and now it has been passed on you.
Justice, as W.H. Auden once observed, is permission to peck just a wee bit harder than we have been pecked. It is true that the revenge motive often accompanies justice, but the sentence passed by the town of Garçon on the two luckless American soldiers seems excessively harsh by any standards. Can the two men escape their strange and awesome fate? We will conclude our story when I return with Act 3.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Life is a struggle for survival. And in wartime, there is no doubting the stakes. It is life or death. God is on the side of those with the big guns, George Bernard Shaw remarked cynically. Perhaps, but the unarmed civilians of Gascon are determined to strike back at the powerful warring armies in any way they can. And the victims of their outrage are two young American draft dealers.
The two condemned men will permit themselves to be bound in preparation for their execution.
I ain't permitting anything.
Tie him up. I trust, Sergeant, that you will not make us fight you too.
You know, Baudet, that killing us isn't going to solve anything.
But it will perhaps serve as an example to the armies of both sides to stay out of Gascon.
No, it won't. When this is discovered, there'll be reprisals. You'll all be put on trial for murder.
As your comrade observed, the bombardment has stopped for the moment. We will take advantage of the lull. Let us take the prisoners outside.
Booster, are you okay?
Oh, boy, my head hurts bad, Sarge. I can't even walk straight.
Right, now lean on me. Lean on me.
Good, thank you.
Here we are.
Well, how do you plan to execute us?
By a firing squad, using your own weapons. You will stand here in front of this wall. It is one of the few walls that still remains in our village.
Who's going to shoot us, Baudet? Who's going to pull the trigger? You? Those old people over there? Those young kids? Who's going to do it?
It will be decided by lot. Every villager has been assigned a number. Four people will be chosen.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to do the drawing?
I am.
Are you sure your number's in that hat along with the rest?
It is. And now, let us proceed. Number 63. Number 112. Number 14.
Monsieur Baudet.
Huh?
What is going on? Where is everyone here?
Amy. We thought you must surely be dead.
Oh, no.
But you were not with us in the church.
When those bombs started to go off, I hid in my room. I was too frightened to move. What are you doing?
He's choosing our executioners.
But what for?
They are soldiers.
Do they have to die?
You know the law.
Wait a minute. Does this woman live here?
I do.
Well, then she's got to vote. She's part of the jury.
But the vote has already been taken.
No, it has to be unanimous. That's what you said. Ma'am, if you say so, they've got to let us go.
Oh, dear.
Amy, do not be afraid. Everyone else has also voted for their execution.
I'm sorry, Monsieur Baudet. Perhaps if I had been part of the crowd, I too would have raised my hand. But I cannot be the one.
But you must.
No, I'm sorry. But I vote to let them go.
You heard her, Baudet.
No. I cannot permit it. The others will not allow it.
But if we let them go, if we let them take our message to the outside world, if these two can tell what they have seen here, how our village has been destroyed, and how so many of us have died, and if just one person will listen, would this not be better than if we kill them?
Perhaps you are right, Amy. It is not likely that it will matter. I do not hold out such hope. But at least the verdict of the people of Gascon will be heard by the world.
How's your head?
Yeah, a lot better from being out of that town. Hey, how come we're cutting across the field? Wouldn't we make better time sticking to the road, huh?
Well, we lost so much time because of that madness back there that I want to try finding Jackson's body and see if we can get the radio to work now. We've got to make contact with the captain and warn him not to come this way. Not with those German field pieces across the river.
There's the rise we were headed for when Coolidge and Jackson got hit.
Yeah. Their bodies should be right about here.
Oh, that shelling sure tore everything up, didn't it? Craters everywhere. Yeah, it looks like the surface of the moon.
Sarge? What's the matter? Did I see something?
This is where they were. I remember the spot.
Well, there ain't no sign of them around here. Wow, the grass is all tore up. Well, we ought to be able to see them if they was here.
They're gone. Their bodies are gone. All trace of them.
You know, I bet them people came out and dragged them off so there wouldn't be no evidence.
Yeah, but the townspeople didn't kill them. Those shells were definitely coming from long-range guns across the river.
Well, who else would take them?
I don't know. Come on.
Where are we going?
Back to the road. I want to see if Morrison and the others are still there.
Sarge, there they are. There. Right where they fell. You think those people killed them?
Well, if it was the people of Gaston, these are the bodies you'd think they'd want to get rid of, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, it don't make no sense at all.
Well, we can't worry about it now. The main thing is to get back and report to the captain.
Hey, well, Sergeant.
Hello, Captain.
What happened? What are you doing back here? Why didn't you radio us?
We tried. We couldn't get through. Something was jamming us.
Where are the rest of your men? Leave them out there?
Yes. Except for Corporal Coggins.
Craig, what happened? What's the matter?
They're all dead. We ran into sniper fire about 4 miles down the road. Three of the men were killed there.
Oh. Well, is it safe to send out an ambulance detail to pick them up?
Yes, sir. Yes, we didn't meet any resistance coming back.
Ah, the others?
Well, after the ambush, we left the road and cut cross-country towards the river. Jackson, Coolidge were hit by mortar fire.
Mortars?
Yeah, we ran into heavy fire from the other side of the river.
Uh-huh.
I think we better build our bridge along the other route.
Well, we don't have any other choice. We've got to go your way.
Why?
Well, Sergeant Blevins just called in. He's the man I sent to scout the alternative route. Now, that section of the river is all white water. It's rapids. We could never get a bridge over that.
Captain, I don't know what the Germans have over there, but it's a heck of a lot worse than rapids.
Strange we didn't hear it.
You didn't?
Not a thing.
Yeah, but it went on for half an hour. There's a village there that's practically in ruin.
The wind was probably blowing the wrong way, carrying the sound in the other direction. Anyway, Sergeant, we've got to take that route, and we've got to move up ahead of schedule.
You're not waiting for support?
Can't. Support's been delayed. Fuel shortage is back down the line.
Yeah, but that'll be suicide. I mean, once the Germans spot us, we'll be blown to pieces.
I don't understand it. Aerial recon said there wasn't anything over there.
Well, they must have figured out what we were going to try and do, and they must have moved their artillery into position last night.
Maybe. In any case, we got no choice. We've got our orders. We're moving out in 1 hour. What's this village you mentioned?
It's called Gaston. It's right on the road. It's right by the Somme.
Gaston, no? It's not on our maps.
Yeah, I know, but it's there, all right. Corporal Coggins and I were almost killed there.
What do you mean? Is the town occupied?
No. We were put on trial.
Trial?
We holed up in an old shed on the outskirts while the shelling was going on, and then and the mayor of the town comes walking up the street, calm as you please, and escorts us to a church. The whole town was holed up there in the basement. They took our guns and they put us on trial.
What for?
For being soldiers.
But we're not the enemy.
As far as they were concerned, both sides are the enemy. They made soldiers illegal. They've decided that was the only way they were going to survive. And any soldier who comes into that town is subject to death.
And the road we have to take runs right through there?
Yeah.
Well, did you tell them what we have to do? That we're just engineers?
Didn't make any difference.
Well, we gonna have trouble then? I mean, are they gonna start sniping at us?
Well, they kept our weapons.
Now, Sergeant, are you absolutely positive about this?
Yes, sir. Corporal Coggins can confirm it. What are you doing?
Calling in an airstrike.
Airstrike?
En guessant.
But they're civilians.
Civilians who tried to kill you and may try to kill my men.
But they're women. They're old people, kids.
Yes. With your weapons and heaven only knows what else. No. No, Sergeant, I am not taking any chances.
Well, can't we try and talk to them?
There is no time to talk.
But...
Sergeant, dismiss. Now get your gear together and report back to me in 1 hour. You've been on the road, so I want you traveling in my Jeep.
Go, sir.
Sergeant Fraser, I want to talk to you.
Something wrong?
Yes, I'd say so. I've got the entire general staff at First Army headquarters looking for my head. The general himself was just on the phone to me.
Well, what's happened?
Half a dozen bombers on their way to help relieve the Ninth Army were diverted to attack Gasson. Now, you have heard of the Ninth Army, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
And you are aware of their situation?
Yes, sir. They're pinned down by the Germans.
Yes, their situation is desperate, Sergeant, and they aren't going to appreciate the fact that their air support was delayed to attack a target that wasn't even there.
Wasn't?
That's right. There is no village of Gasson. They flew over the area, and there was nothing.
Maybe they had the wrong coordinates, huh?
They crisscrossed the whole area just to make sure. Zero. Nothing. Zero, Sergeant. Nothing but forest and meadowland.
But we saw it. We went through this insane trial.
Oh, I think you went through the roof of your mind. Either that or this was your idea of a joke.
Gasson doesn't exist.
Oh, no. It exists, all right. Or, rather, I should say, it did exist.
You mean the Germans had destroyed it by the time our planes arrived?
Yes, Sergeant, in a manner of speaking, I suppose you could put it that way.
I'm sorry, sir. I mean, the shelling had stopped when we left. I didn't know it was started up again.
It hadn't. The town of Gasson was destroyed 25 years ago. It was completely demolished during the First World War. It was caught in the no-man's land between the Central Powers and the Allies. So by the end of the war, there was nothing left to indicate the place had ever existed at all. Not a stone, Sergeant. Not a soul.
It's not possible, Captain. It's there, I tell you, it's there.
And furthermore, the pilots of those planes said there was no indication there had been any bombardment in that area whatsoever.
Really? Then how did Jackson and Coolidge die?
Sergeant, I don't know. But we are proceeding as scheduled. And maybe along the way, you'll remember. Well, we're almost to the river, Sergeant. There's no sign of enemy fire or of your village.
It's around the next bend. It's gotta be. I don't understand what's happened to these fields.
What's wrong with them?
They were torn apart. There wasn't a blade of grass anywhere. And now, look, it's like nothing happened.
Here we are. There's the river. And there is no village.
It's got to be here.
Craig, calm down.
No. We walked down the streets. There was a church right there. Right where those trees are.
Craig, you lost 5 men today. Believe me, I know what it's like. I know what it can do to a person.
Monsieur Baudet came and got us. We were put on trial.
But you cannot take that responsibility all on your own shoulders. You can't blame yourself. Our job now is to get on with building that bridge. Sergeant?
Shh. Listen. You hear that?
Hear what?
Same music that was on our radio.
Oh, Sergeant, you're hearing things. Let's go, huh? You'll probably never know for sure what actually happened.
But if we let them go, if we let them take our message to the outside world, if these two can tell what they have seen here.
What we saw?
What did you say, Craig?
How our village was destroyed, and how so many of us have died. And if just one person will listen...
Sergeant, what's the matter?
No, Captain. No, I think I do know. I think I do know what happened.
A survivor of Hiroshima who years later was still trying to understand the full meaning of what had happened said, "It is impossible to invent a language which can comfort the guinea pigs who didn't know the cause of their deaths." The villagers of Gaston, by recreating the scenario of their destruction so that its message might reach the outside world, were trying to create just such a language. I'll return with the final word in a moment.
Picture this. There's been a celebrity murder, and there's going to be a lot of political pressure. So who do they call? Woody Paris. And who does he suspect? Only the most beloved politician in town.
You're not going to be very popular in certain quarters, you know. I'm not running for office.
His only witness is the dead woman's lover.
I think I know who killed Lydia Wellman.
James Earl Jones, a great American actor, is Woody Paris, a great American cop. Paris, coming this fall on CBS television.
Got the picture? Oh, yeah, you're looking good.
Take your contact. Take it now. Give your cold to contact.
I'm going to change your mind about nighttime cold medicine. You see, of all major medicines, only one works up to 12 hours against the cloggy virus symptoms that keep you awake. Only contact. One capsule's relief stays with you all through a long night's sleep, no matter what cold virus attack. Only contact.
Give your cold to contact.
Take only as directed.
Golden oldies. Remember when those records were only 39 cents? Here's another hit from those days when money went a long way.
Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, tastes great. Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, can't wait.
Today, Kool-Aid unsweetened is still a great value. With your sugar, it's only about 13 cents a quart. Has vitamin C, too. And these hot days, your kids will love that icy Kool-Aid taste as much as you did.
Kool-Aid brand unsweetened soft drink mix. You loved it as a kid. You trust it as a mother.
I can't hold it. Swim to the toolbox and get the big wrench.
Current's too strong. You can't make it.
You have to.
Last time I'll ask you to change a washer.
If you could use some help, our Consumer Information Center catalog lists over 200 federal publications on everything from jogging to nutrition to simple plumbing repairs. For your free copy, just write Consumer Catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
What was that address?
Pueblo, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Citizens of Gaston, by demanding that the memory of their terrible fate not be forgotten, were also demanding, in a way, that their souls be left in peace. But their quest was not yet over. Our story took place in the fall of 1944. That winter, the Germans took the Allies by surprise with a counterattack that became known as the Battle of the Bulge. And once again, the spot where Gaston had stood was ravaged by cannon fire. Only after the German thrust was repelled was the embattled earth beneath which reposed the souls of Gaston left in peace forever. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Earl Hammond, Carol Tytel, and William Griffiths. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Follows on WBBM Chicago.